We're going to move on now to education. The budget may hurt a program that has formerly helped students who want to practice medicine. The post-bacc program, or post-baccalaureate medical degree program, is administered and run by the Associated Medical Schools of New York, heretofore known as AMSNI. Joe Wiederhorn is president of AMSNI and joins us with Denise Dennis. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And hello, Joe.
Hello, Susan.
So it's great to see you again.
Yes, you too.
So we would love to know what is in the budget that is of concern to AMSNI.
Okay, so first let me just give a little bit of background.
Please.
The Associated Medical Schools of New York represents the state's 16 medical schools. We train more medical students than any other state in the country, and we train more residents than any other state in the country. One of the things that is our primary mission is to ensure that there is diversity within the student population of the medical schools.
Why is that important?
It's important because there have been more and more studies that have shown that in order for health outcomes to improve, people like to go to physicians who they feel comfortable with. And therefore, as the population is becoming more and more diverse, we need to have more and more a more diverse population of physicians. In addition, there have also been studies that have shown that minority physicians or physicians who are underrepresented in medicine are more likely to serve in underserved areas. And I think everyone knows that New York State has very large numbers of underserved areas, both rural and urban.
So if we put it another way, if you are a woman and you decide that, you know, you don't want to go to a male gynecologist, that's not, you know, a terrible thing. You know, you can go to a female gynecologist. Unfortunately, if you are a person of color, you might not have the option because there aren't many people in the medical field or not enough to serve different populations.
Absolutely.
Denise Dennis, what made you want to be a doctor?
So I was one of those children who, from the age of five, I decided that I was going to be a doctor, and no one could talk me out of it. No one tried to, really. I got a lot of encouragement, but, you know, just always wanted to do it as a child. And through college and, you know, later on, explored different volunteer and work opportunities in healthcare, and just strengthened, you know, my desire to do so. So I stuck with it.
So how does, where did AMSNI come in for you?
Okay, so I actually went to college and graduate school here in Albany, at the University of Albany. Then I took a year off and worked for a little bit, and then applied for medical school. So upon applying to medical school, I was recommended for the post-baccalaureate program by the University of Buffalo, and I decided to take advantage of that opportunity. Now, I don't know how much you know about the medical school application process, but it can be pretty expensive. And so
I didn't know that. Why? It's just a long process, or it's just like hundreds and hundreds of dollars? Or
it's a long process, but like similar to residency, for a medical school application, you have to interview. And so when you apply, you also go through an interview process where you actually travel to these various schools.
I see.
And you're interviewed by, you know, basically the admissions committee there,
the gatekeepers,
before they decide,
right,
yes, whether or not, you know, you will be offered a position. And so that can become pretty expensive. The application process in and of itself, in addition to the interview process, you know, it sort of adds up.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking the MCATs and so on and so forth. So the
post-bacc, which you also have to pay for, right?
You absolutely do have to pay for, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the post-bacc program, when it was offered to me, I saw it as an opportunity to become a physician, which, you know, I will be becoming.
So what do you get then? What do you get if you go through this program?
Okay, so for a year, I went to the University of Buffalo, did the program there. They provide a stipend, which is, you know, what a large part of this funding that we're talking about goes towards. And, you know, I didn't have to work. So throughout college, I worked, you know, to basically put myself through this application process to support myself during college. And, you know, I didn't have to work for that year. I could focus on basically going back and, you know, reviewing some of these basic science courses and preparing
myself. Because
once
you're out of it, I mean, that's, I can't even imagine going back to college now. But that, I've been away more than a year.
Yes.
But even a year will be, is like a huge thing, you know.
Absolutely. And so at that point in time, like I said, I did 2 years of a master's program and a year of working, organic chemistry was at least 4 or 5 years prior, you know.
Wow.
So it had been a while since I'd been in basic science courses.
But I hear organic chemistry is really easy.
Absolutely.
All right, so you got a chance to actually go and take all these courses, and you mm-hmm. weren't distracted by having to work and all that other stuff. And
if I could just add one thing,
yep.
I think going back and sort of relating back to what Denise said, Denise was recommended by a medical school, by the University at Buffalo. She was recommended to this program. And therefore, she didn't have to apply. If she passes this program, she doesn't have to apply for medical school.
So that's another thing she gets.
She gets an automatic entry into the University at Buffalo.
So you don't have to go anywhere to actually interview. What if you decide, though, that, you know what, I really want to go to a different school? Or is that not allowed?
Not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah. So after
you're committed.
Yeah, in that first year. Yes.
Are you committed to do anything else?
That's a trick question in terms of...
I mean, I'm not sure. You know, there are a lot of regions in the state that are underserved.
Okay, absolutely.
Do you need to promise that you're going to serve in one of these areas for a couple of years as a doctor?
So that's not a requirement of the program. But, you know, the postbaccalaureate program is heavily tied into a lot of our underrepresented minority programs in medical school. So I was able to participate in, for example, the Student National Medical Association programs, and we work with underrepresented populations. That's what we do, you know. So as a result of it, I've decided to stay, you know, just from my experience in Buffalo and doing the postbac and sort of getting tied to that population there, I decided to stay there for my residency, and we'll hopefully be practicing there in the future.
Well, that's terrific. I have no doubt that you will be. But there is a problem in that it's one of the programs in the budget that have sort of been, they're almost like block granted.
Yeah. Well, they haven't been almost block granted. They have been line items in the budget until this year. This year, in the budget that the governor proposed, we have been put into a pool with 10 other programs.
Whatever,
right, exactly. And we'll have to compete as it stands now. We'll have to compete for these funds, which we don't have a problem with in terms of our outcomes. We have fantastic outcomes. 93% of the students that go to the Buffalo program go into medical school. 87% of those students come out and practice. And a vast majority of them stay in New York to practice.
Which is great.
So, which is fantastic. But our problem with being put into this pool is that our programs start in July. The students are being interviewed in April and May. If we don't know whether or not we're going to be able to compete even until April 1st when the budget is done, and then there's an RFP process, and then by the time that's over with, and then we're told we can have students in the programs and how much money we're going to get this year rather than, you know, in the past.
Are we going to miss a year?
Yes. Bottom line, yes, we will miss a year. And it's very difficult once you miss a year to really get people engaged and started up again.
So for somebody like Denise, what does this mean? I mean, are people already in the program? Have people been accepted to the program who are going to be affected if the year is missed?
Well,
or no?
Yes. There are. We actually run 4 post-bac programs, and Denise goes to one of them.
Okay.
3 others provide master's degrees as well as the automatic entry into medical school. And 2 of those programs are 2-year programs. So that those students who are now in the first year of those 2-year programs will not have funding for the second year of their 2-year programs. And
Ooh.
That is a problem.
Yes. Who are you going to have to compete with if this isn't fixed?
Well, the interesting thing is that this pool is made up of such a variety of programs. So not only would we have to compete with the AHECs, the Area Health Education Centers, which work with kids that are younger than the kids who we work with trying to get them into medical school, we'd have to compete with Doctors for Loan Forgiveness programs, for physician support programs for doctors who want to start.
So this is all under DOH, not...
It's It's all under DOH, right. Not education. Right. And we'd also have to compete with a program that tries to get researchers into the state, young investigators to come to the state to do their research in the state here, which is great. All of this is needed. I'm not saying that none of this is, you know, it's all needed, but we need to know now whether we're going to be funded and how much we're going to be funded by.
Do you have the ear of a legislator?
Yes, we do. We went and spoke with Kemp Hannon this morning. We're going to speak.
He's the chair of the Health Committee in the Senate.
And we're going to speak with the chair of the Health Committee in the Assembly this afternoon. We have meetings set up with Senator DeFrancisco. So we do have meetings set up.
Well, best of luck to you, Joe Wiederhorn.
Thank you.
Denise Dennis,
thank you so much
for joining us.
Thank you.
And best of luck.
Thank you.